Kerbos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Kedushin daf Chaf Dalet. We're here at the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, about 7-8 lines up. Rabbi Lezer Amar, and if you remember, at the end of yesterday we talked about the part of the Mishnah that quotes the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir as to whether an Eved Kanani, that's the sugyas we're talking about here, the Eved Kanani can redeem himself with money. So again, we had said, Rabbi Meir said that the Eved Kanani cannot redeem himself with money. Right, when he has his own money, the Chachamim had said that he can, right, as long as the money came from an outside source. And one way we explain that machlokas, right, Rabba Amar of Sheshes explained that the case is right, meaning that really they hold it obviously Kol Mashikana Eved Kana Rabba, everything that an Eved acquires, the master acquires. Excuse me. But the case is, right, where there was a stipulation made by the other people, right, and he says it, right, on the condition, he gives the money to the Eved on the condition that the master does not acquire it. So the Chachamim, the Rabbi Meir holds that it doesn't work, and the Chachamim hold that it does work, and that therefore, right, the Eved can acquire the money and then give the money to the guy. To the master. Rabbi Lazar Amar, now we're just like 7-8 lines up. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Kolki Agam Nedukuli Amal Plugi Dikani Eved Dikani Rabbi. He says, in that case, where the guy stipulates, right, I'm giving to the Eved, I'm giving you money on the condition that your master doesn't have it, right, he said, that's not a thing. I mean, nobody holds that works, right, and both of them really couldn't. Rabbi Lazar, right, everybody, the money would go straight to the master, and the slave, even the Chachamim Armode, right, that the slave, right, does not own that money. But what's the case? Hachamai Eskinen could go into Achnile Achar Mana. What the situation is, the scenario is, right, a little bit different stipulation, where someone, right, Achnile Achar, not Achar, but Acher, I'm sorry, someone else gives the slave a mana, V'amarle, and he says to him, Almanash Tetzi Bo B'cheirus. He says, not that on the condition that your master, right, before we said the condition was, you can acquire this on the condition that your master doesn't have it. So that's not, that's impossible, according to Rabbi Lazarus, therefore nobody holds that works. But here the condition is that you're acquiring this on the condition, right, that you use it to free yourself and go free. And that's the machlokes. So Rabbi Meir holds, Ki Amarle Kani, right, Kani Evim Kani Rabo, right, Rabbi Meir holds, there's nothing, it still holds, there's nothing doing. That doesn't work. The moment you tell the Eved to acquire it, he acquires it and it goes straight to the master. And then, and then when he said to him, right, that's nothing, right? The stipulation doesn't work. For Rabbanan Savri, but the Rabbah of Rabbanan hold, that the Eved doesn't actually get, right, the money, meaning the money's not actually going to the Eved, because he's telling him, right, the money goes to you on condition, right, that you go free, right? Meaning that shitzneu the rabcha bepidyonecha, as Rashi says, that you should give it, right, to the master. So the gift is, right, going to the master, right, and he's not gonna, since the master can't get it, right, with full blanket rights, right, the master has to acquire it with the same stipulation that the Eved acquires it. So when you give it to the Eved, right, and he gives it to the master, right, the master is acquiring it, the money, in the same way, meaning just like the Eved would acquire it, quote-unquote, on the condition that he goes free, so too the master acquires the money on the condition that the Eved goes free, and then that's how that mechanism would work. Okay, Verami Rabbi Meir Ad Rabbi Meir Verami Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan. Now the Gemara points out that there's a stira in another scenario between Rabbi Meir's shita and Rabbi Meir himself and the Chachamim themselves as well. Meaning there's a stira between both of those shitas. Right, we find the opposite, right, in a different context. The Tanya is another brisa. Ain isha posha po de Meisher Sheni below Chomish. Let's get a little background. Meisher Sheni, one of the gifts that you have to take from your produce in your field, bring it to Yerushalayim, right, and eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, another option, right, instead of taking all of your produce to Yerushalayim, which could, you know, probably, Mitzvah Shemi should be very wealthy, and that would be a lot, so you can redeem it outside of Yerushalayim with money, right, and then bring the money and then buy food there in Yerushalayim and eat that, and that would work. But the Torah tells us that if you're going to redeem your own Meisher Sheni, you have to pay a chomesh. You have to pay a fifth, which is actually a fourth, right? It's a fifth of the total amount. So if it's worth 100, right, so then you would pay 25, because a one-fifth of the total amount, i.e. 125, would be the percentage you have to pay. So you have to do a little backwards math or whatever. Right? So then you would have to pay 25 to get it up to 125, and then 25 is 1/5 of 125. But okay, either way, you have to pay that fifth. That's not the important part for today. The important part is that if someone else redeems your fruit, your Meiser Sheni, right, meaning that guy, someone else, your friend, uses his money to redeem it, so then he doesn't pay a fifth. Right? Then he just gives, you know, the $100 or whatever, you know, the face value, right, of the Meiser Sheni. So now, the Braisa says, "Ain't isha poser Meiser Sheni below chomesh." A woman can only, whenever a woman is poser Meiser Sheni, right, she is going to, right, pay a fifth. Meaning, she is, right, ishto kegufo, or she's the shidduch of her husband, however you want to explain that. Right, as Rashi says, shehi kebaila, she is like the husband, and therefore she's always going to pay a fifth. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Rabbi Shimon ben Meir, that isha po, and this is Rabbi Meir, right, that's Tanakama, that's Chachamim, right, and Rabbi Meir says, isha po the Meiser Sheni below chomesh. A woman can theoretically redeem Meiser Sheni, right, without a chomesh, without paying 1/5, meaning that she can redeem, right, other persons, meaning that she can redeem her husband's Meiser Sheni with her own property, right? That's just like a woman brings in certain things, right, to a marriage, or she has an inheritance, whatever, Nechsei Malug, right? So the husband is allowed to use the Nechsei Malug, the field, let's say, for example, the wife brought in, but she actually owns that. So she has some sort of ownership, and if she uses that money, so she could theoretically not pay a fifth because it's not exactly hits. So now, what's the scenario? What's the scenario where we're going to say that this machlokas exists? Hey, tell me what's the case. Ilim abezuzi the baal meiser the baal. If you tell me that's the husband's money and the husband's meiser sheni, so obviously shliach the baal covered. What do you mean? No one's going to say she doesn't pay a fifth. She's the baal shliach. Obviously, she has to pay a fifth. That stuff belongs to her, or i.e. or the mishalach or the husband. If you tell me that the scenario is where she's using her money, right, the money that she owns, and she's redeeming her husband's meiser sheni, that doesn't make sense either. Right? The pasuk says isha arma chamana velo isha. This is we darshin out. Right? The pasuk says that a man is going to be able to redeem, right, his meiser sheni. That's when you pay a fifth, but not a woman. Right? So a woman doesn't have to pay a fifth in that scenario. So el lav ki agavna must be this case, and this is why we have a stereo with the previous scenario. What's the case? De akni le acher mone ve amar la almanah shetifti bo esamaiser. That's a pretty bit, bit of a jump, but it must be, says the Gemara. It must be the scenario is where she gave. Well, so, or not she, someone else gave the wife $100 and said, on the condition, right, just like we had by the Eved, right, this is yours on the condition you go free. They basically gave the wife a $100 bill and said, this is yours on the condition that you use it to be poda Meiser Sheni. Right? So someone literally gave her a $100 bill to be poda Meiser Sheni. So that's where you have the Machlokas. The Tanakama holds, and that's the Chachamim, right, that lechora, again, that money goes straight to the husband, right? Kol mash kana isho kana baal, right? We had that before, but we've been talking about Evid Kanani, but whatever the woman acquires goes to the husband in most scenarios, unless they worked out a deal. Okay, whatever, fine. We did that in Gittin. Ksubas maybe. All right, either way. And Rabbi Meir holds, that's where Rabbi Meir holds, and it works. No, that actually, you don't pay a fifth because that's someone else's. Maybe that she acquired, not someone else's, she acquires that money, therefore she uses it to redeem her husband's Meiser Sheni, and she would not pay a fifth. But the last thing we just said, right, is the opposite. Again, Rabbi Meir wasn't concerned, meaning when we had the case by giving the Eved $100 and on the condition he go free, Rabbi Meir was not interested, right? He was the one who said that the stipulation is no good, and the Chachamim said that, yeah, that stipulation works for him to go free. Here you're telling me that Tanakama holds that the stipulation is no good, and the Rabbi Meir says that the stipulation is good. So Rabbi Eboch, Rabbi says, yeah, you know what, you gotta flip it, you gotta flip the Braisa. Rabbi says, no, you don't have to flip it. Why? Because Hachab Meiser to us up mebei nasuk askinan. We're dealing with a scenario where the Meiser Sheni, right, is not her husband's, right, but it's her father's. And her father passed away. Now she has inherited, right, her father's Meiser Sheni. That's, you know, becomes hers. As Rashi, So Rashi says, just to explain the case a little bit further, deeper, right? Shemesavia, her father died. Vayelo Meiser Sheni. Right, and he had some Meiser Sheni in his possession. He didn't read it yet or redeem it yet. V'yar Shasa, and she inherits him. Imshar Nechasim, with all of his other property. And here's what we wanted to add. V'yerusha habala lachar mikan nechsim alokein. Any Yerusha that comes to a wife, even though she's already married, right, has the same status of nechsim alok. V'ilakach bahen karka. And what do you do with that money? You buy money. V'hu okoperos. And the husband is allowed, right, to use that land. And get the peros from that land. But Taklas is, what's going on over here? She's already acquired Meister Sheni. Rabbi Meir Latame, Damar Meister, Maman Hekdeshu. Rabbi Meir Shita is that Meister Sheni is Maman Hekdesh, meaning it doesn't belong to the owner, it belongs to Hekdesh. And the husband, therefore, does not acquire it right from the husband. And therefore, what's it called? That it's considered to be someone else's. I mean, it's considered to be belonging to someone else, and therefore, when she redeems it, right, she's not going to pay a chomesh for a baran. But the chachamim hold the tamayo. That's their shita. They don't hold that the ma'aser sheni belongs to hekdesh. That means my moment head yodu, that it belongs actually to the people themselves. They just have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So v'kani lebal and hilkach shliuchus the balka avda. Right. Therefore, the husband acquires right the peros of that what's it called? Of that field, and therefore when she's going to be the shliach of the husband to redeem that Meister Sheni, right, it is their property, and therefore, right, she has to add the chomesh and she has to add the fifth. Okay, fine. Okay, Tanu with another price. Now back to Evan Kanani. How does an Evan Kanani go free? We talked about redeeming him with the shtar, etc. There are other ways that he goes free, that if he gets injured, right? We alluded to this when we were talking about Eved Ivri. But Tana with other Nebraisa, Yotze B'Shein V'ayin V'Rosh Yevarim She'enim Chozer, that an Eved Kanani goes out if he gets injured or if the master damages him in the following limbs, an eye or a tooth, those are straight up in the Pasuk, right? And then the Braisa adds, Rosh Yevarim She'enim Chozer, any ends of limbs that do not come back. So if he like chops off his finger, whatever it is, right, he's going to go free. So Gemara says Bishlam Ein V'Ayin D'Ksivi. Well, the Pasuk says that eye and a tooth. Right, El Rashi Yevarim Binano. How do you know that he goes free if he chops his finger off? If the master chops his finger off? So Gemara says Demi Adeshein V'Ayin. And this is going to be a little bit convoluted in terms of drushes and how you darshan apsukim. So just bear with us. Right, it's similar to a Shein V'Ayin, like the eye and the tooth. Right, Mashe V'Ayin Mumin. Mumin sheva godlei ben chozrin, just like the eye and the tooth are mumin, is a mum, right, that is open on the outside, it's revealed, and they don't come back. So I've called mumin sheva godlei ben chozrin. So anything else similar to that, right? There's just a couple of examples, right? And therefore anything else similar is also gonna set the Eved free. But Ema I Ninu Shiva Ayan Kishnik Sumin Bon Kakad, Vakok Shnik Sumin Bon Kakad Ema London. But one second, you have two psukim, there's a concept called the right Shnebun Bon Kakad. If you have two psukim who are dealing the same halacha, right, that they're teaching the same thing, right? So the din is you can't teach it about other scenarios, right? Meaning that if you wanted to tell me that you were going to compare the example given in the Chumash to other scenarios, right, and extend it elsewhere, so we would have only written it once, and we would have known to learn it to everything else. Right? What Gemara does this a couple of times, where we have an example in the Pasuk, right? It says, what it meant was everything that's similar to this example in the Pasuk. But once the Torah writes it twice, so then the Torah is being very specific. Right? Once the Torah writes it twice, or Shein V'Ayin, right? So those are two specific things, right? Why would it write both of them if it didn't only apply to the both of them? So that's what the Gemara is saying. Shnei Ksuvim Bon Kakad, they're both teaching the same halacha, and the Torah is being very specific by bringing that extra example. So how do you know it applies to other scenarios? So Gemara says, actually, Tzricha, we actually needed both Shein and Ayin, both tooth and eye, and we couldn't learn one from the other, and therefore it's not a case of shnei ksuvim bon kakad, right? Because if you need both of them, if both of them are adding an aspect of the halacha, so then they're not two psukim writing the exact same thing, they're adding different elements to the halacha, and therefore you can therefore extend it from those two elements to other places, right? But if they were only teaching me the same exact thing, only in that scenario would you limit it, right, to the two examples that are given. And so then the Gemara explains tricha. I think because of Rachman Hashem, if you only would have said that an Eved goes out if he knocks out his tooth, Havamina, Afilu, Shein Dechalav. You might have thought even Shein dechala, very cute. It means a baby tooth, right? I guess as Rashi says, shein sheyanakba, right? It's a tooth that he nurses with. Okay, it probably more accurately means a tooth that exists when nursing occurs. All right, either way, it means a baby tooth, right? So therefore, kasser ruchmana ayin, meaning it has to be an eye, meaning that it can't be right a baby tooth that's going to grow back. It has to be similar to an eye that obviously, God forbid, would not grow back. Because of Rechona Ayin, if we just said I, Havamina Ma Ayin Shenevra Imo, Avkol Shenevra Imo. Just like the I, and again, this is also a little bit of imprecise language, but okay, what it means is that you, if it would have just written in the I, if he knocks out an I, then it goes free. So that's only something that exists, quote unquote, when he was born, but what it means is that it's something that was visible, something that was there. Obviously, the teeth are there when the kid is born. What it means is right, that it was visible and out there when the kid was first born. So I've cautioned every email of Hashem Lo, right? But you might have thought, therefore, you would extend it to everything that, you know, limbs and etc., but not necessarily teeth. Therefore, tzucha. Therefore, you need both psukim, and that would not necessarily limit it to just examples of shein v'ayin. The Gemara says, but 1 second, v'ema kiyake klal my shein v'ayin prat. Well, 1 second, when we have a klal prat over here, right, that again, the way you learn a klal prat, right, it gives it. Well, the Gemara will explain, but. Well, I guess we'll just read the Gemara and it'll explain itself, right? But the kiyake klau, right? When a person hits his eved, right? That's a general action, right? Shein v'ayin prat. Then it says when he knocks out an eye or a tooth, right? That's a very specific example, and therefore when you have a klau prat, a mekhlal la mashem av prat, right? With the rule, the klau, the halacha, right, is only by what you have in the prat, in the specific example, right? And therefore shein v'ayin. In media chudin lo, and therefore it should only apply right, to a tooth and an eye. This Gemara says no, because the Pesuk therefore says afterwards the chavshi shalachanu, right, gives a general statement that he sends him free, and therefore chazo klal. Therefore you have another klal, you have another general statement, and therefore you have a klal prado klal. How do you do that? Right, again, this is what we say in Rabbi Yishmael, but we don't really very often understand what it means. So what it means, what happens is that yetadanika elokin aprat. What you do is, right, you compare all other scenarios, right, to the examples, to the specific examples given in the psukim, but you can extend it if those other cases, like say limbs, are similar to the examples given in the Chumash. Mapa prat mafurish mum begole veino chozrin, just like the two examples given in the Chumash are, it's a mum shebegole, it's revealed, it's open, and people can see it, veino chozrin, and they don't grow back. Afkol mumen, so to everything, right, any part of the body that would be visible and don't go back. So the Gemara says, 1 second, we have another, the prat is not only visible and doesn't grow back, it's also batum malakto. Right? It also is unable, right, to, the limb itself is unable to, doesn't mean the evid is unable to function, but the limb itself is unable to function, right? You knock out a tooth, it cannot chew. If you knock out an eye, right, it cannot, what's it called? It cannot, you can't see. Right, I've called movement, sheba gali, ve'inu chozer, batam amalachto. Right, so therefore, that should apply, therefore, to every case where you have those three things, right, where it's visible and it's batal and it doesn't work and it doesn't grow back. Alama Tanya, why do we learn in the Braise that talish bezukano? If the master yanked on the guy's beard, the dildubo etzem, and he sort of like kind of dislodged some sort of bone, right? So, and that doesn't fix itself. I'm not sure exactly which bone it's referring to, but okay, I'm not a what is it? Anatomist? I don't know. I'm not sure. But either way, Evid yotzei b'mecheres, but Evid goes free. Right? That bone, the chora, doesn't have anything to do with. Right, with the bottom of malacha. What malacha does that bone serve? So Kumar says, you're right. We're not going to really darshan klal protocol. We also, the chavshili shechena is actually a ribui. Right? It's actually a ribui. It's actually an inclusion. And therefore, we're going to include, right, all other types of rosh evarim, right, that are even if you don't have right, the batal mamalachto aspect to it, you're going to include other types of visible and what was the other one? Visible and non-regenerative, non-growing back limbs. The Gemara says, "Vibriboyhu." Well, if you're including other things, other injuries, right? So why don't you include a case where the guy broke his hand, which is going to heal, right? But it's right now it's broken. Lamatanya, why do we learn the Braisa? That you call all yada with some sort of chozer v'sofa la'achzor. Ain't that video to be v'cheres? We learn in that case he doesn't go free, right? The Braisa says he doesn't go free. Just to be precise, right, what that means is that he what the literal meaning of the phrase is some sort of sofa la'achzor. Some says like to shrink or to kind of like, you know, I don't know, to shrink. okay, either way, but any type of, let's say, injury that would go back. So why don't we say that? We see that that's not included. Well, okay, if you're including literally every injury, so why did the Torah say shein v'ayin, right? It must be clearly, those are both something that doesn't go back, something that doesn't heal itself, right? So it must be, right, anything that's going to get healed, right, is not going to get the slave out of servitude. Tanur Rabbanan will learn the Raisa. Bekulam eved yotze bahem lacherus v'tzarech get shichurur divrei Rabbi Shimon. Does when the master knocks out the eved's tooth, does he then need a get shichur? So Rabbi Shimon says yes. Rabbi Meir Omer lo tzarech. He says no. Rabbi Lezer Omer tzarech. Rabbi Lezer says yes. Rabbi Tarfon Omer eino tzarech. No. Rabbi Kiva Omer tzarech. He does need it. Machrin lefnei chachamim omrim. And the people who are deciding right in front of the Chachamim said near the Rabbi Tarfon b'shem v'ayin. Rabbi Tarfon makes a lot of sense, i.e. that he doesn't need a get shechur shatorah zachtolo, because the Torah already said specifically, right, that he goes free. V'der Rabbi Kiva b'shari varim, and it seems by shari varim, meaning that's only by eye and a tooth. But Rabbi Kiva, who says that he does need a get shechur, that makes sense. That he would need to get shechur by sharevarim, by other types of limbs, whole knas chachamim, since it's just a penalty, right, a knas that the chazal made on him. The Gemara says, knasu? What do you mean, knas? Kardoshina? We just did it. What do you mean? We were listening for the last 5 minutes, we're darshaning out the psukim. It's not a penalty, it's not a knas. Ella, ho'el, umidrish chachamim, since what it meant was that since it's darshaned out from the chachamim, the chachamim used the ways to darshan out the Torah. So therefore, it's not clear, right? And therefore, you should give him a shtar shechur as well. Okay. Vait. My time with Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon say that he requires a get shechur? Also, even if he knocked out his tooth. Yolif shiluch shiluch mi isha. He learned it from an isha. From a get of a woman. Ma isha bishtar afeved nami bishtar. Right? Just like a woman also leaves through a shtar, so too. And Evid as well. Rabbi Meir, okay, that's pretty good. Gzeir Shava, right? What do you do with that? So again, Rabbi Meir and all the other people says you don't need to get shechur. So because of Chashi Levasov Karamarta, because he said Eichanami. If the pasuk would have written free, he goes free, but that meaning just with just the word free Eichanami. But Hashdik see the Chashi Shalchanu Havale Chashi Meikara. When the pasuk says La Chashi Shalchanu, you should send him out to be free. Right, so meaning that he's sent out right away. I mean, you don't even need get shechur afterwards. Tana Rabbanan will learn the rest. Iko al eno v'sima al ozno v'chersha eved yotze v'hem l'cherus. If you knock out his right, if you blind him, not necessarily knock out the eye, but if you blind the eye, right, or his ear, right, then and made him deaf, so he goes free. David kind of goes free. Negate eno v'eno roa, right? If you negate eno though, if you know, meaning if you did it something to that was opposite the eye, meaning let's say you punched a wall or whatever. I think that's the example that Rashi gives. Yeah, Rashi says, can I get eno? Pretty much, well, a little bit across and up. Sheyika bakotel v'heviv iso bakol v'eno roa o nizcharish. Right, he did something to the wall. He hit the wall. He punched the wall. Right, he was upset at the Eved. Didn't want to punch him. Punched the wall. And then, unfortunately, right, something happened. Maybe the rock kicked out or whatever, and the eye went blind, right, or the voice or whatever it is, the noise made him deaf. Excuse me, so the eved goes free. The eved does not go free. Right, negate eno veno roa, negate ozo veno shamea. Right, if you did, right, he punched the wall, and for whatever reason, his eye or his ear doesn't work anymore. So the ain eved yotze b'lechem b'cheres, that does not work. I'm going to Hashem Ravashi. Rav Shem says, Rav Asher, remember the color of Klumu. You're telling me that sound, right, is nothing, but he doesn't go free, right? That sound that you made when you punched the wall, right, and it freaked him out, and he's just like, kind of, somehow injured his hearing. That sound is nothing. He's not going to go free. I mean, you didn't really damage him. Vatani with under Rabbi, so, or Vatani Rami Bar Yecheskel. Excuse me, I'm by Yecheskel taught that turning goes Jehoshi at Rosh, the other Kli's Chukas, but talk about Shavro, right, if a chicken, right, put his beak into a piece of glass or a glass cup or whatever, and then shattered it. So mizshalin nezek shalin. You have to pay full nezek. Right, if you have to pay full nezek. If Amar Yosef, Amar Beirav, Sus, right, Shetzana v'Chamar Shenar, any donkey or a horse that makes a noise, v'Shamru Kelim Zogamayis, right, and if he breaks a Kelim, and Mishalim Chazin Nezek, you have to pay damages. You have to pay Chazin Nezek. That's a Machlokas, right? Again, that's already Baba Kama stuff. We'll get to in a couple of months already, maybe even less, right? Yeah, let's say 2 months, for example, Berech. A machogas, meaning when an animal damages normally, right, when he does normal things that an animal usually do, right, you have to pay nezek shalom, you have to pay full damages. When an animal damages in a way, meaning because you should have watched over the animal, right, your cow was walking and whatever, so you should have watched it over. But if it damages in some strange way, some odd way, right, like with secondary, right, let's say the case very often is tsuros, right, kicks pebbles, and the pebbles cause damages, so that's already, you pay chatzin nezek, right, according to the chachamim, that's a machogus, but we pay chatzin nezek, according to the chachamim, and that would be a scenario over here, meaning that the way that the rooster, or the chicken, right, that would be normal. I'm not sure. Okay, but anyway, but the noise that the horse and the donkey does, that would be chatzin nezek, right? Again, in Echanami, pashtus is where there's only a sound being made over here, right? So why are we going to, if you tell me the sound is nothing, and therefore if you punch the wall, make a sound, and everybody goes deaf, not sure even how that works, but okay, and everybody goes deaf, you're not going to have to set him free, right? You're telling me that the sound is not significant. Samarlei, shani adam, dekevin debar das, hu, iu, mi bais, Navshe, fascinating statement that I guess would perhaps fly in the face of a lot of modern psychology nowadays. But maybe is what we said for what the Gemara is saying, because I don't know about modern psychology anyway. The Gemara says a person is different. Why? I mean, because over there we're talking about when the animals break utensils, right? Kelim, right? A glass, kli, or whatever, by the noise, or whatever it is. Here, what's happening? The person, right, is getting damaged by the sound. So since the person is a bardas, says the Gemara, he is freaking himself out, right? He is scaring, right? Mibais means to be scared. He is freaking himself out, right? He is, putting himself into, the situation, right? He's making himself afraid, or he damaged himself by freaking out so much. Yeah, if you're Rashi, just Rashi, Sharna Adam, the Bardasu, right? A man is different since he's a Bardas. Hai Nizak, right? The person makes himself afraid. Shenosein libo el pachad kol haba pitom. Because he focuses on the fear of the sound that came suddenly. Right? It sounds like, again, the Gemara is saying that he did it himself. The slave did it to himself. Titania is willing to raise back in the Gemara. Hamavis is chavero, potter, and the anam, b'chayim, v'din is shemayim. Right? If a person freaks his friend out, right? If he scares his friend, and the guy just kind of like, and then just gets hurt. So he's potter, b'din is adam, b'chayim, v'din is shemayim. I mean, the base is not going to enforce it, right? But again, Kosh Baruch Hu, right? Listen, you tachlis, you did this. Ketzad, how does that work? What case we're talking about over here? Talk about Ozno. Right? If you blew a shofar, right? Hopefully not, chas shalom. But in Yonah Dioma is probably the phrase we're looking for. Right? Talk about Ozno, blows in his ear. V'cher Shonim makes him deaf. Potter. He's potter. Right. Achzu, if he grabbed him though, we'll talk about Oznav Acher Shov, but if he grabbed him and then blew in his ear, right, then Chayev, because then already he grabbed him, right, then already he actually damaged the person in question by latching onto his person, as instead of just making a sound that freaked the guy out. Tanur Rabbanan went under the rice. So let's do one more. A bunch of these Tanur Rabbanans here. Hiko al Eino V'Kasa. Let's say you didn't blind the guy by hitting him in the eye, but his eyesight is now poorer. Poorer, right? More poor, right? Al Shane Ovenad, or he hit his tooth and he knocked it, didn't knock it out, but it became loose. And the Yachal Ishtamish Behen Achshav Ain't Evin Yotz Behen Becheres. If it still works, right? So then, right, the Evid does not go free. But if it completely doesn't work, if he can't function with it, so that meaning that the whatever limit is, if it doesn't function, so then Evid Yotz Behen Becheres, then he goes free. Tani Yidach, another price says, Horesha Haisa Eino Kahuya Visima. Let's say the guy already had bad eyesight, and then when you punch him in the face, you blinded him. Or Shino Nedud Vepila, or the tooth was loose, and he knocked it out, meaning not a baby tooth, right? A regular tooth. If he was already able to use it when it was weak, when the eyesight was weak, when the tooth was loose, if that was still a functional body part, and then you knocked it out or you made it blind, it was no longer functional, so then he goes free. But if not, if it was already non-functional, so then he doesn't. Utsricha, the Gemara says, we need both of these teachings. If you would have taught me the first one, that when you weaken the eye, right, it depends on whether it's functional or not. Right? I mean, if he can use it, he doesn't go free, but if he can't use it, he does. Right? He said, you would have thought that Mishum de Meikara Nahora Bari Vahasha Nahora Kechisha. You might have thought that that's only because originally his you could see, right? He was Bari, he was healthy, he could see, and now it's very much more poor. But in the second case, you might have thought that when he already had bad vision or bad teeth, I guess, right? You would not go free, right? It's only when you make him go from 100% health to, I don't know, 30% health, that's when you would set him free. If you only had the second statement, that when he was weak and you knocked it out, but in that case, you might have thought that no, but the only reason he goes out is because you knocked out the tooth completely or you made him completely blind. But in the first case, where you didn't knock it completely out or you didn't make him completely blind, and maybe you should not go free. So therefore, right, you need to teach me both of those halachos. All right, so we're going to continue tomorrow with Hashem. And with Tanur Rabbanan, we'll go right through the Hail Yishas. Did we get out of every Kanani yet? I'm not sure. We get on Amavez tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem, we'll go on to something else. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.